they call the geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm a cripple on the corner. You pass me on the street, I wouldn't be out here begging if I had enough to eat. Don't think I don't know that our eyes never meet. I lost my wife and a little boy. Someone crossed that yellow line. The day we laid a man in the ground, it was the day I lost my mind. Right now I'm down to hold a little call. So don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm fast, I'm thin, I'm short, I'm tall, I'm deaf, I'm blind, help me all.
And that's right, don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Skies Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to our program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, because once again, we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house to give us a good message and take your prayer requests, prayer praises tonight. So, Sister Emily, who do we got in the house with us tonight?
Naturally, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band angels. We got Brother Quick. We have a mystery guest and my favorite Smurf chasing dad.
Okay. And
I think I better behave about picking it, dad. That might get me in trouble.
And that mystery guest, the number, the first three of the area code and the first three of the number?
Looks like 231-307.
Okay, and caller, if you wish to give any prayer requests, prayer praises, that kind of thing, just press the number one, and we'll open your mic. So while we're waiting to see if that happens, Sister Emily will let you start off here tonight with any prayer requests or what have you.
My normal for the police force, for all first responders, for my dad, who's in a rehabilitation, nursing rehabilitation for our housing, basically for mankind, as Brother Six would say. And matter of fact, our mystery guest has now got their hand.
Okay. We're opening your mic momentarily there. Caller?
There they go.
Hi,
they're open.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd like to pray for our nation and President Biden and our Vice President, Kamala Harris. Pray for our governor here in Michigan, Governor Whitmore. Pray for them that they would seek knowledge from the Lord so they might get some things right. They want to invite people to Michigan to kill babies, and it's just not right that they do that. I don't even know why it'd be on their mind, you know. But you can come to Michigan because we're going to let you abort the babies. So it's crazy. So I want to pray for the men and women that it's God's precious little gift these babies are. And then they just want to kill them. It's like crazy. So we want to just pray for that this cycle would stop.
Amen. You got any other requests, sir?
Well, that pretty much does it. Pray for Doug, my brother-in-law, Doug Quick and Bonnie, that they need to get an automobile. We pray that they would receive one. So we thank you for that. This is Ken, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you, sir. We're glad to hear your voice again on the program.
Oh, yeah. Never falter, never fear, for the Lord is always near.
Amen. All right. And then, of course, we have a prayer request for our blind ministry. We're looking for a bus to be able to go out to these different blind schools, blind camps, to bring them the gospel. And as well, as Emily stated earlier, our police forces, and like you said, our people in authority, that they get their heads screwed on straight and lead this nation God's way rather than man's way. And, of course, an unspoken, and there you go, Brother Quick. We're going to turn the line over to you and turn the floor into your hands so you can open us in prayer and give us a good message again tonight.
Kenny, also I had one other for Brother Quick tonight for the Lewis family.
All right. So, Brother Quick, you're on.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. And thank you, Miss Emily, for these requests that you've given. And thank you for my brother-in-law, George Vanderhag, getting in here and speaking. And I'm just glad to hear his voice tonight. He doesn't always get in here with us. Sometimes I have to say, where was you at? And then here will come all the excuses. You know how it is with everybody else, but I'm just glad to hear you.
Amen.
Right, George. And these requests, I've got some requests myself. Yes, we do need a vehicle. Our old vehicle gave up the ghost. I guess maybe it got old. I was trying to get 300,000 miles out of it. But I only got 290,980 or something like that. So we didn't quite make it. And it just kapoofed on me. And so we've been without a vehicle now for a little over a month. But the Lord knows all about that. Aaron, our middle son, has been a big help to us. But he's self-employed. He's taken after me with a lot of his work habits, and he's self-employed, and he's able to work where he wants, when he wants, and how he wants, and it just works out real good. But he has been just overworked, actually. He took this last Monday off to take us around to show us a vehicle or two, and just, I think it was yesterday, I was talking with him, and he says, Dad, I tell you what, he said, I need a day off. That's all there is to it. And I said, son, you just had a day off on Monday. And he said, yeah, that was Monday. This is Thursday, and I'm already wore out. Well, I understand that very well. But just be praying for Aaron because of all the workload that he takes, and he'll appreciate that a lot. Our youngest son, Samuel, pastors a church about 50, maybe 60 miles from here. And the last I heard out of him, he and his family are doing wonderful. Our oldest son, Doug Jr., is another one. He's works just about around the clock. And sometimes you have to wonder, you know, where do they get their second breath? Well, you'll have to ask them, because I have had to slow down some, so I've learned where it is that my second breath is coming from. But just, we must remember this nation of ours. And November is coming up when, according to God's sweet will, he's going to turn this back around and make this appear at least like a Christian nation that it always has been. But we've had one or two in the White House that have changed that and said America is not a Christian nation. And that is a big-time lie, because America is. God's the one that put America here, and God's hand is still on America. And we just need to remember to pray for our nation and pray for each other. The message that I'll be preaching tonight, I'm not just real sure that I'll be able to get all of it out because, and I'll explain that when I started this thing, but sin is just one of those things that always takes you further than what you want to go. It always costs you more than what you want to pay. It always keeps you a lot longer than what you want to stay. And there's several other statements made like that, but that's enough right there. You'll see in the message tonight, that's exactly what happened to King David. we want to remember the Willis family that Emily brought up, and the police. We need to pray for our cops every day that you're alive. Every morning you're alive. Every afternoon you're alive. Every evening you're alive. Take the time to pray for the cops in this nation, because the Biden, I hate to say the Biden administration, because they're anything but administrating anything, but the Biden White House, and I hate to even call it that because it's more like the Biden Dark House anymore, but he's going along with all these other ones that say, defund the police, defund the police. That sounds real good, except for the time when they're going to need a cop, and a cop won't be around. Then they're going to understand the importance of not defunding the police. But we need to be praying for our police all across this nation, because the small town that we live in here, the cops don't have a whole lot of danger, and yet that danger is slipping in here more and more and more every day and every night. There's more shootings going on and all that kind of stuff. We just need to remember to pray for the police all across this nation. And for the first responders, they need our prayer for sure. Now let's pray before I begin to preach this message tonight. Our Father, thank you again for these moments together. I thank you for Brother Ken and his faithfulness unto you, and for his wife, for her faithfulness unto you, and for Miss Emily, filling in for Ken's wife. She's not been feeling real good. And we're just asking you just minister this night unto Ken, unto his wife, unto Miss Emily, unto Brother Six Eyes, and unto those other ones that are in charge of the airwaves all across this great nation. And just help each one of us to understand that we're here and we're able to do what we're doing all because your hand is upon us. Now, Father, I'm asking that you would be with Governor Whitmer in Michigan, because she is she's a wicked woman. Don't even have to go any further than that, Lord, because you know all about that. I'm asking for the blind ministry of Ken. He's been asking you for a bus so that they can get out and take the gospel to those blind that are around there. And then for the unspoken request. Miss Quick, no doubt, still has an unspoken request. I still have an unspoken request. Miss Ruth probably still has an unspoken request. And Emily still has an unspoken request. And Lord, these are not unspoken requests to you. You know what each one of them is. And we're just asking that you just minister this night and help us as we take the Word of God and begin to open it up. I'm asking that you'd give each one of us that understanding that we need and help us to hear you speak to us this night as I preach this Word, your Word. Now just be with us now, and we'll sure thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our address, our mailing address, get this down now, 1122, I always say 1122, it's 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Georgia. The name Waycross is spelled capital Waycross. That's Georgia, 31501, here in the United States of America. And we'll be glad to answer any requests that you would send us. We're really understanding a number of things, but we need to hear your praise reports and your prayer requests that you have that you don't want to make known here on the airwaves, just for us to be able to pray with you, and we want to be able to do that. Now, tonight, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 50, number 51. And when you're turning there, I got a couple of other places that I want you to hold your finger in also, because I don't know how long we're going to be able to be here in chapter 51, because there's other things that we have to look at tonight before we can get here to cover the scripture that's before us here. But also take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 11 and hold your finger there in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. We'll be coming to both of these places. King David is crying out to God in the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms. He has sinned greatly before God. He has been found out, his sin that he's done so greatly before God. The preacher man has come by and seen the king, and that's where Psalm 51 falls into place. Let me read just a verse or two here, and then we're going to go over to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Psalm 51, verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. These are words from King David. Now, King David is no different than you or me. He's a human being. And every human being has to watch ourselves, because the devil can throw aside a trap in front of each one of us, whether we're realizing it or not. In 2 Samuel chapter number 11, turn there. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Here's danger point number one. All of David's army, including Joab, are on the front lines, and they're fighting and they're killing those who have been their opponents. All of them are there except David. Isn't that amazing? This is a time of year when all kings, that's what we just read, this is the time of year when all kings go out to war, but not David. He decided to stay home. Well, verse number 2, it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Two people, not in a proper place. We don't know how late it was, but it was bedtime because David had been to bed. And sometime after he'd been to bed, he decided it was time for him to just get up and go strolling on the roof of the house. And he got up there, and he couldn't help but look, and there was a woman just across the ways, and she's bathing herself at this time of the night. This woman is out there bathing herself. What's she doing out there bathing herself this time of night? She could see the king up on the king's roof, on the mansion roof where the king was. She could see that. She didn't try to cover anything. She didn't try to hide herself. She just stayed right where she was at. And then David sent to find out who she was. She was the wife of Uriah, one of the soldiers that was out to war. Well, then you read here, verse number 4, David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. That's been at least 2 or 3 months now. Her husband is still out on the battlefield. Joab and all of the army is still out there. King David is still here to the house. Isn't that amazing? David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash that. No, excuse me. I got to back up here a little bit. David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how the Joab and the people did and how the war was prospering. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. You talk about Uriah's been called back home. King David has got a plan, but Uriah sleeps at the king's door. He didn't go home. Well, word got to David, So the next morning, David called Uriah in and said, well, you just stay here today, and then tomorrow I'm going to send you back to the war. And that afternoon, David made this gentleman drunk, thinking to himself, that will get him down to his house, down to his wife. But that night, no. That night, instead, he was found sleeping at the king's door. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just amazing? This man was faithful. He was faithful unto the king when the king had been so disfaithful unto him. Oh, listen. Well, when word got back to Bathsheba, that was the woman's name, that her husband was killed in the war, she mourned and did all that kind of thing. And then when David found that she was all done with that, David took her and married her. Isn't that amazing? He's trying to cover up his own tracks now. Well, David has married Bathsheba. All looks good and well, doesn't it? Chapter number 12 of 2 Samuel. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said, Nathan, by the way, is the prophet. He's the preacher. He came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was with him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was with him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was with him. And look at verse number 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. In verse number 7, then Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All of a sudden, David has been found out. Amen. God always knows when one of his children sin. There's no question at all about that. God always knows that. But this was King David. And King David thought for sure he was going to be able to get away with his sin. He was the king. He should be able to do anything that he wants to do. Amen. Well, we've got a president, a feller in the White House in the United States of America right now, that thinks that he can do whatever he wants to do, too. I know. Amen. God knows where he's at. Amen. God knows all about that. Now we'll go back to Psalm 51. And let me read these two verses one more time. I'll give you a chance to get back there. David is crying out to God now. When he told Nathan, that man surely shall die, Nathan went ahead and told him, you're not going to die. The Lord's not going to kill you, but you're going to have trouble for the rest of your days. Oh, and David did. All of the rest of his days, David had nothing but trouble, nothing but trouble, nothing but trouble. Well, He brought it on himself. And now here, Psalm 51, let me read the first two verses again. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Isn't that amazing? He should have cried all this out long before this. He should have looked the other way when Bathsheba was there bathing her naked body before him. He should have left and looked the other way. He should have went to the other side of the roof. That's what he should have done, but he didn't do that. Now he's paying the price. And that price is a great price. Amen. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, he says, and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. When you read in English where it says, wash me, that little phrase means literally, make me cleaner than clean. Wash me thoroughly. Increase every number. Remove all of my sin. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Moral iniquity. Perversity. Cleanse me. Make me shine bright and purify me. Oh. You see, David is getting a hold of God. David is doing some real praying. David knows that he's been caught in his sin. He knows that he's paying his price for his own sin. He knows that. And he's crying out to God for forgiveness. Would to God, every child of God, every one of us that knows Christ as our Lord and Savior, would to God, every one of us would cry out to God for forgiveness long before we ever do. Amen. Our life would go a whole lot faster, a lot better. That's for sure. Verse number 3. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Acknowledge. David says, I acknowledge. I know my sin. David says, I acknowledge my transgression. My transgression was my rebellion against God. David says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Isn't that amazing? There's been a lot of things that we have seen in our lifetime. There have been a lot of things that we have experienced in our lifetime. I have been all around this great nation preaching the Word of God for 30-some years. But for me to call off the name of each one of those churches and remember each one of those churches, I can't do that anymore. My wife says, honey, don't you remember? We came through here and you preached at such and such a church over here with Brother so-and-so. She got such a memory. I can't always remember all that kind of stuff. But you see, sin is one of those things. It just gets a hold of us. And we can ask God and plead with God to forgive us of our sin, and know that we've been forgiven, and just get up and go for a little bit, but it won't be long, and it'll bam, right there, bam, hit you right between the eyes, bam, there it is, right there again, just like as if it just happened just 5 minutes before that. You'll never forget some of your sins, never, ever, ever. That's where David's at. Committed adultery. That was a sin. He committed murder. That's when sin became iniquity. iniquity is much more than what sin is. Always has been, always will be. You see, David says, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Verse number 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Wow. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for every one of us to come to the conclusion before it ever happens that any time that we sin, I don't care how tiny a sin it is or how big of a sin it is, every time that we sin, we're sinning against God. God is the one that's being sinned against. Amen. David is realizing this now. He's paying an awful price. He's realizing that now. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All includes Adam and Eve, our first parents. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, listen, look back at verse number 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Wow. Isn't that amazing? We're going to pay the price for every sin. Every sin calls and demands a price to be paid. Well, Jesus said these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse number 11. Why is Jesus saying that? Jesus is saying that to help each one of us to understand. Paid our sin debt. We don't have to go through life trying to carry our own sin debt. We dump that at the foot of the cross and leave it there. Amen. Jesus died to pay the sin debt of every conceived person to ever be. Isn't that amazing? That's why he could say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No man could take Jesus' life. The soldiers couldn't take Jesus' life. No. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, he finally yelled out with a loud voice, it is finished. Isn't that amazing? He looked worse than a piece of raw meat. There was no way anybody could look at him and identify him. He'd been beaten beyond recognition. And yet, when it came time for him to give his life to pay our sin debt, he yelled with a loud voice. Matthew, Mark, Luke, read it. He yelled with a loud voice, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. Man couldn't take his ghost. He gave up the ghost. Man could not kill Jesus Christ. They beat him beyond recognition. They beat him more than any man has ever been beaten since or before. But he laid his life down for you and me, his sheep. He laid his life down. No man could take it. Oh, every sin must be dealt with properly. Look at verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Woo. Purge me with hyssop. David said, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was an herb of a bitter taste. And here it's typifying the suffering from sin. Purge me with hyssop. There's no kind moment any sin. Every sin is bitter. Oh, listen. Purge me with hyssop. What David is saying here is, I'm guilty as charged. God, you found me. You convicted me. I'm guilty as charged. Wow. Hyssop, that suffering from my sin will stop, but the memory will always be there. Amen and amen. Hyssop was an herb of bitterness, and it just reminds everyone that reads this of the suffering of sin. And then David says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. When we are purged from our sins, listen to me now. When we are purged from our sins, when we are washed clean from our sins, then we must be washed to become whiter than snow. Amen and amen. Look at verse number 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Wow. Did you hear what David just prayed? Make me to hear joy and gladness. I didn't know that these were musical notes. Did you? I didn't know that hearing joy and gladness was anything like this. Oh, wait a minute. God saved my wicked soul many, many years ago. Many years ago. There's been many, many times when I have been in the church house and God has let me hear joy and gladness coming through my bones. I would get so happy, so joyful. I would hear it. I could feel it coming. Amen. I've preached revivals all across this great nation. And I've watched God come in there and stir people and start revival time after time after time after time. Just start revival. The preacher could not even stand up and preach. I couldn't do that. All I could do is just pray because I knew what God was doing. I could feel it. I could feel joy. I could feel that gladness. Oh, yes, I could. This can only happen with a clean relationship with our God. We can hear the joy around us, but David couldn't hear it in his heart or in his soul. He was dirty. He was guilty as charged. He wasn't cleaned up yet. He couldn't hear this. He couldn't hear these things at all. We hear folks being glad around us. David didn't know anything about this. He honestly didn't. Verse number 8, one more time. Read it. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The very strength of our bodies comes through our bones. Amen and amen. Payment for willful sin, excruciating suffering that takes place within, not seen but felt like broken bones. Amen and amen. I have been there. That Sunday morning when God called me to preach the gospel, October the 22nd, 1973. My wife wanted to go to the altar. The first time that she nudged my arm, I was froze stiff. I couldn't move. But the second time that she nudged my arm, the Holy Ghost got on me, and I was like a bowl of jelly. And we both went to the altar, weeping as we went. You see what was taking place? There was that time when we were beginning to feel that joy and feel that gladness. I couldn't feel it when I was standing there in the pew. No, I couldn't do it then. I couldn't do it then. Not until I moved. Not until I surrendered. And after I surrendered, I felt it all the way up to the altar. I felt it all the time we were in the altar. I felt it all the time coming back to our seat from the altar. I felt it. You see, payment for willful sin, excruciating suffering that takes place within the soul of man, can only be said it feels like broken bones. Yes, yes, yes indeed. Well, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. That's what King David prayed here, verse number one. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to be clean before him. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be clean. Amen. That's one thing he's got in line for us. He wants for us to be clean. Every one of his children. Every one of his children. We're not clean, as clean as what we could be. But we could be clean if we just stop and spend some time before our God. At an altar someplace. At our bedside someplace. Someplace just stop and cry out to God. And plead with him for him to forgive us. And when he does, there will be a feeling come in our bones. We'll know for a fact that God indeed is doing something real in our hearts. Oh, listen. I want to pray and just ask the Lord to help us right now, because these are just precious moments. Every preacher that preaches the Word of God, there's precious moments. Sometimes while we're preaching, sometimes when we're done preaching, but there's precious moments. And I would plead with the Lord that he would touch hearts all across this great nation, all across this world tonight, and bring all of his young'uns to a place of repentance where we can get up and know that we're clean before God. Our Father, thank you so very much for these moments. Thank you for Brother Six Eyes instructing to Brother Ken some months back that I would be preaching every Thursday night. Every Thursday night, Brother Quick will be preaching. That's exactly what he told Ken. And Father, what a privilege to be able to preach to those that have heard me again this night. Plead with you, Father, that you would help each one that's heard me when you've touched their heart. Perhaps somebody come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior tonight. I would love to hear from them. I would love to hear from them. It would just brighten up my morning or my afternoon. It would just really brighten me up to hear how that you have used us again. So be with us this night. Be with Brother Ken and those requests that he has. for the bus that he needs to get out, the blind around him, and take the gospel. And for Miss Emily and these requests that she gave, and for the unspoken, that you just help us, each one of us, and just minister unto us and strengthen us. And we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. And it's Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Cam?
Okay, would you like to give one more time your snail mail information so they can write you?
1122 is what that is. Church Street, like you're going to the church house on Sunday, as Church Street. That's Waycross, capital Waycross, Georgia, 31501, right here in the USA. And I'd be glad to hear from all of you that will take the time to drop me a note.
Amen. And if you wish to contact Brother Quick via email, what we're doing is you can send me the email at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do at your fingertips, F-E-E-L, N-S, Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. In your subject line, write comment or question for Brother Quick. And then in the body of your email, just write your question, comment, prayer request, prayer praise, what have you. And then once I receive that email, I will print it off, snail mail it to Brother Quick at the address he just gave. And then when he sends me back the response, I will send it to you as a PDF file so you see it exactly as he wrote it. And you'll be able to have his response via email. Once again, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. And, Brother Quick, I just want to say it was a good message tonight, and it kind of reminded me of the one experience I got from a preacher, and see if this jogs your memory a little bit, where this preacher came to me, and he says, how would you feel if you went to a business and they said they were closing at 5:30 and you arrived at 5:20 and the door was already closed and the lights were out? And I'd say, well, I think they were lying to me and et cetera. And he looked square at me and he says, thou art the man. I had the same experience as David had. And then he went on to explain how me having a mower business, I had a sign that said open at 9, and here I was opening up at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And he got on me and showed me from God's word that, hey, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be not lying to the people. And so straightened me out real good. Remember that, Brother Clark?
I think I remember that pretty good. Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, preacher with a backbone just like Nathan did, buddy. But, hey, I learned from then on to be prompt and be on time. So I thank God for that little hellfire put on me. Hey, it brought me closer to God in that way, knowing that, hey, at least I don't want to be thought of as a liar in that way. So, hey, I'm prompt. So thank God for that. Thank God for that little rebuke.
Amen.
All right. And Sister Emily, who do we got with us? And see if anybody's got any questions or comments for tonight's message.
Well, always the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band angels, they at us. Brother Quick, I think it's his brother-in-law, Sister Lila, and Brother Quick and my favorite Smurf Chicken Daddy.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll start with...
I better quit before I get in trouble after the show, Brother Quick.
All right. We'll start with Sister Lila, since she didn't get her chance to get her prayer request in at the beginning of the show. Sister Lila.
Go ahead, Lila.
Hey, Sister Emily. Hey, Mr. Mary Wolfgang. Hey, Brother Quick. I do have a quick prayer request. Continue praying for my itching that gets under control. And also pray for my friend Heather's uncle that he is going to pull through. And also pray for the employees here at the nursing home and at every nursing home as well.
Okay, is that it, Lila?
And I do have a question for quick.
Okay.
All right.
Can you please do that topic you did today again next week? Since I was not able to get on the show early today.
What do you want now?
I wanted to know if you could do the same topic.
My love,
you did
please
today.
Lower your tone. You're echoing.
I was wondering, can you do the same topic you did today next Thursday?
She wants a little more on the same topic next week, Brother Quick.
Well, we'll just see
since
what we
I
can
missed
do.
It.
All right. We'll listen to the Lord and see what the Lord lets us do for next week.
All right. And now we'll go to. Okay. Now, Brother Quick's brother, whoever he is there, George, I believe is his name.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. You got any questions or comments?
No, I think it was a very good sermon. And actually, things happen like that, you know. We've got to be on our toes always because that sin will. Like he says, populating the nose, you know, you'll be thinking Christian things and a bad thought will go across your head and then it'll just whap you beside the face. So you got to be on guard all the time.
Yes, you know.
Amen.
And when I used to, you know, I traveled to UP with my produce and everything, you know, when I get tired, you know, and then I think good thoughts. I got a home in glory land. Let outshine the sun. Oh, do Lord, or remember me way beyond the blue. I took Jesus as my Savior. You take him too. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate your program very much. Been very good. And we'll be in tune again.
Amen.
Amen to everything on that too.
Okay. Emily, do you have any questions or comments?
No, it was a very good message, Brother Quick. I was just going to ask you guys to be keeping me in prayer because I just got, as I tell Kenny, when I get a nasty headache, I call it one of my monsters.
See, she gets migraines is what she means, Brother Quick. She gets migraines. I get them myself on occasions. So.
Okay.
Trust me, they're pretty awful. They're pretty awful.
Well, I know it.
Yes, they are.
So, all right. With that, we're going to let Brother Quick give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight. And then I'll have a few closing comments after he's done.
All right, and thank you very much, our Father. Thank you for these moments that you've given for us to be together again tonight. And thank you for Miss Lila coming in and being here, even if she was a little late, that's all right. We're asking that you just minister unto her with these requests that she gave about the employees at the nursing home and different things like that. And Lord, you know there's many around us that they're not treated right at all, that's for sure. And we're asking for your hand to just be upon each of us and help each of us to be a witness unto you, no matter what it is that we're facing. I'm asking that you'd be with Miss Emily and Brother Ken and those other ones that have migraine headaches. I think Miss Ruth has those also. And we're asking that you just minister unto them and help them in those moments to take and just begin to pray and just thank you for those moments of suffering like that, and you'll help them through that much better. Now, Lord, for each of these other requests that I've already prayed for, I would plead with you that you minister, that you get glory to your name, and thank you for answering my main plea tonight and let me be your mouthpiece. That's all I want to be, just your mouthpiece. And thank you that you have spoke to hearts all around this great country tonight and used us, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you for that. Now be with us this night and help us in days to come to always remember we're a child of God. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is our own personal Savior. We know that he's washed us clean of our sin, and help each one of us to remember those moments when we can stop and cry out to you for you to cleanse us and keep us clean as you would have us to be. Now be with us now, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And finally, I just would like to make these final couple of announcements. First off, if you'd like to get a copy of this message or any other message of Brother Quick's, you can do that by going to the podcast section of your tablet or smartphone and entering Six Eyes Radio, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. And once you type that in, hit enter. And when we pop up there, then just hit subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to Brother Quick at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Monday if you wanted to. So you'll have it on demand. Also, for you Android or Apple users, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app, iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded that, go to iHeartRadio, enter in Six Eyes Radio, as you did in the previous illustration, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Click on that. Once it's up there, click on subscribe, and you'll have it on your Android or Apple device. And if you just want to go to the Internet and find us, you go to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes. That's blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. And once you're on that page, you'll find all our great programming right there at your fingertips to enjoy 7 days a week. And then, of course, radio is not cheap. Even though it may be free for you to listen to, it's not cheap. So we'd appreciate a love gift from you. And there are several ways you can go about doing that. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you'll enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. The final and option you have is if you wish to send a check or money order, you can send that first by requesting the information by going to Brother Six Eyes' email at sixeyes6@gmail.com. In the subject line, write donation information requested and explain in your body of your email that you're wishing to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information so that you can send your check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you, and God will not only bless you, but we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. So for Brother Six Eyes and all the gang here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and Sister Emily, all of us say good night, God bless, and we'll catch you tomorrow night for AJ and the squad at 9 p.m. God bless, everybody.